We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Hey, welcome to Mike Young's Love My Renovation Project, where we discuss all things regarding renovation, whether it's 203K, Homestyle, or any of the seven other renovation loan programs that I'm aware of. And standard, real, you know, if you've got a construction project, even if it's not a 203K or a government loan, maybe doing it out of pocket and you need somebody on your side that knows the business, feel free to give us a call and we'll see what we can get done for you and help you out of an issue. My niece Lauren came with us, stayed with us last week, and brought some friends. They climbed a mountain here in Las Vegas. We have Red Rock Mountain. I was totally unaware of just how talented that young lady and her friends were, but that was fun. Today's my grandson's birthday. He's 15 years old today and 6'5½" tall. Wow. Anyway, if you'd like to be part of the show today, call us at 888-627-6008. Ask your questions or let us know a project of your consultant or lender and you've had an issue with a 203K project or a Homestyle project that you'd like to share. Feel free to do that. While most 203Ks and other type renovation loans go off without a hitch, from time to time you may find yourself with nobody to talk to. And that can be the homeowner, or the borrower, or the consultant. We will help anybody, even if we weren't in on a transaction in the first place. So if you need someone to talk to on your side that has some, you know, 25 years experience in this business, we've seen pretty much everything go wrong that could go wrong, and we've had solutions to it. We can be very helpful in that regard. If you have an issue and you don't want to talk on the air, that's fine. Go to 203k911.com and tell us about it on an email. It will be confidential. It will not go on any blog post. And we'll go from there. Again, we had a lot of talk on the internet about having too many consultants in an area. I can't tell you that's a good thing, not a bad thing. If there's too many consultants in your area, learn to dominate the area. Take our training and dominate the area. So, anyway, if you're just not marketing yourselves correctly, if you're complaining about it, our software, 203ksoftware.com, go there, sign up for our training course. It's only $489, and I've been told it's worth a lot more. I had a couple guys, several guys, seven of them actually, that all signed up for my entire package years ago. And I said, why are you guys doing this? Because you're all in the business for years. And they said, well, we want access to you. And we want to know how you're marketing these other areas. So that should tell you a story. If you're not marketing yourself, or worse yet, if you think that getting on the HUD list is going to get you all the business that you can handle, that's not so. HUD's list is searched by the city you live in. So if I'm looking for a 203K consultant in Timbuktu, Indiana, and there's no consultant in Timbuktu, but Timbuktu 3, 4, and 5 all have 25 consultants each, they won't show up in a HUD search. Okay, so you got to find yourself a better way to market yourself. Let's see. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss in more specific terms, give us a call. Let us know what that is. We're happy to do that. So, let's see what's in store for us today. I had a question from a home buyer in Kentucky. He's considering a 203K, buy a house, and he was looking into it, and he heard about this limited 203K. And he's asking me, does it require a consultant? No, limited 203K does not require a consultant. 98% of the problems that HUD has with 203Ks are limited 203Ks, because they don't have a consultant. So while they're not required and the fee for a consultant is not reimbursed in your loan, you need to make that decision. You know, is it worth it or not? But I tell you, I say it's worth a consultant's fee. We're very, very good at watching your money and helping you save money. He also said, ask me a question here. He says, I've read the restrictions on the 203K, and it mentions that it forbids structural renovation. How strict is that rule? Well, it's very strict. I don't know how to answer that question. I mean, the rule's there. If it wasn't a rule, it wouldn't be strict. But it is a rule, so it is strict. No structural renovation. That doesn't mean that you can't remodel a kitchen. If you're not taking a wall out, it's not structural. If you're taking a non-bearing wall out, it's not structural. So be careful. You're free to call and talk about your specific situation if you want during the week. I'm happy to talk to people. See, we've entertained the idea. This is the rest of his question. We've entertained the idea of expanding one bedroom and changing one bedroom into a bathroom. So, well, if you're moving any or creating any non-bearing walls, then you should be able to make those changes as planned with the limited 203K. If, in fact, you are going to be moving or changing or building bearing walls, those are structural changes. Some lenders look at the fact if you've gotten a termite report, and I recommend you do, many of them are called structural termite reports. So if you're getting that, the lender says you must have saw something you thought was structural, and they won't let you. The biggest problem people get into when you're looking at a limited 203K is they come up with this idea based on what they read in the guideline about a $35,000 limit. You need to read into that a little bit more. It's a $35,000 maximum limit, including costs and fees. Costs and fees run about $800. So if you're doing a limited 203K and your contractor bid is $24,995, it's a standard 203K. It's no longer a limited. And the way that works is supposed to be like a check valve. Once you trip that check valve and it becomes a full 203K, there's no going back and taking work out to make it get below that limit. Okay, so $35,000 is a misnomer. What you need to do if you're doing a limited 203K is find out, number one, does your lender require a contingency reserve? Most do. Some require a 20% contingency. That's $35,000 loan. 20% is $7,000 off the $35,000. Now you're at $28,000. And you take the $800 costs and fees, you're at $27,200 is your contractor bid. You're $27,200 and you got 20% contingency, which is almost $7,000. Okay. So just be aware of that. Don't get caught if you go in there, your lender requires 10% contingency, then you're only taking $3,500 off. But if you don't have that, unless you bid, your contractor bid comes in at $33,900, and you put the 10% contingency on top of that, you're already over $35,000. Does that make sense? So it becomes a standard 203K or a full 203K. If you've done that, there's no going back. It becomes and stays a 203K. Now the lender is obligated to work with you, but it's a standard 203K. Now, there's a lot of fraud going on. There's a lot of lenders that are only approved to do a limited 203K. They will not go let it flip out of their control. So what they'll do is they'll tell you to go find another house that doesn't need quite so much work, or have your contractor pull the work out and get it back. That's not supposed to happen. but I guarantee it happens all day, every day, for lenders that don't do both, the full and the limited 203K. So the last, let's see, that was the last of his questions. So last week we were going over the contracts that home buyers have to sign and understand. And a lot of this information, the contractor, the general contractor, should be aware of these things, and he's not. So what we've done is we've created a list of, I think there's 8 or 9 notes that we include in all of our write-ups now. And it's right above where the contractor signs the contract. And the reason for that is we want him to be aware that there's no upfront money. Because I guess about 80% of the 203Ks we do, some contractor comes up and says, okay, how do I go ahead? The loan's closed. How do I get some money up front to go buy the materials? And I look dumbfounded because, do you remember that page you signed that said there is no upfront money? Yeah, but the lender said we could get some. Interesting. I haven't put that in writing. Send me an email. Send me an email, copy the lender, and say, you know, per the lender, we can have some upfront money. Just so I have some record that the lender actually said that. Because number one, I don't believe they said that. They shouldn't have said that. So, interesting. So, we've got to know these things up front. We've got to tell the contractor something. So, if you don't already, if you're a consultant, you don't already have a letter that you give the contractors, I recommend you do. I like to put it right in front of the underwriter so the underwriter sees that they've been told these things. Some lenders do that. They give a contractor a welcome letter that tells the contractor there's no upfront money, don't ask. Okay, there is some upfront money if you want to do it, but not all lenders go for that. Guideline says that once cabinetry and finished flooring is stored on site, it can be paid for even before it's installed because it has to acclimatize to the house, particularly hardwood flooring or so forth. But some lenders are rejecting that now. We had one recently that rejected that, and that was kind of embarrassing for all, that they only go with the guideline as they choose to go with the guideline. They can create supplemental guidelines for themselves at will, on the spur of the moment. They don't have to go and approve it with anybody. They can make the change. But anyway, going to borrower's acknowledgement, this is a bunch of I understand comments. I understand if I change a contractor for any reason, I may be obligated under the terms of the original contractor's agreement and I should seek legal advice before taking such action. If I disagree with the contractor regarding the acceptable completion of the work, I can request an inspection by the fee inspector to determine if the work has been properly completed. I had a call 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, from a consultant. The contractor is finished with the job. He requested a final draw. It was approved. Homeowner won't sign it. Well, I'm telling consultants everywhere, don't be the first or second to sign. I always sign last. Once my contractor has signed and my homeowner has agreed to it, then and only then do I sign that paperwork. I want to hold that over the contractor to do what is necessary to make any repairs that may be needed. If an agreement can't be reached with the contractor, the lender may hold the money until such time as an agreement is reached with the arbitrator. Decision is rendered, or an arbitrator's decision is rendered. Now that's interesting because most lenders will pay the minute a contractor files a lien, and that's wrong. They should not do that. So don't just, lenders out there, if you're listening, do not pay a lien off just because it appears. Most of the time it isn't a lien, it's merely a pre-lien notice saying that if we don't get paid, we will lien. And a general contractor doesn't need to do that anyway. It would only be a subcontractor that might do a pre-lien notice. And he should. That's his only smart way to do it. Another I understand comment I do is I understand that the lender or HUD does not provide a one-year warranty on the completed work. I am responsible, the homeowner is responsible to obtain such a warranty from the contractor, and the warranty should be stated in the homeowner-contractor agreement. Okay, I think we can get one more of these before we break. I understand I'm responsible to make the mortgage payments during the term of the loan, including the rehabilitation period, to ensure the property will not go into default. The construction on the home must start within 30 days of the closing of that loan and cannot cease for more than 30 days at any time during the course of the construction. The lender may consider the loan in default, or the lender can use the escrow money to have the work completed. If the work stops or is not progressing as it should, or if the work does not comply with the acceptable architectural exhibits, the lender may require additional compliance inspections to protect the security of the loan. Okay. Yes, I am reading this right out of the HUD guideline. So if you're not telling your clients this information, you should be. So please call us at 888-627-6008 if you want to comment or talk on, you want to be on the show. And we'll be right back after this short break, so stay tuned.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Hey, welcome back. This is Mike Young with Love My Renovation Project. I see we have a caller. Is that, if I understood right? So if you want to be part of the show or you have any questions for us or our caller, call us at 888-627-6008 and be part of the show. So go ahead. We have a guest.
Yes, you do.
Uh-huh. Is that Michael?
That's Michael. Michael, how are you?
I'm good.
So great show, Mike. Great show. I'm finally able to connect with you. How is everything going?
Well, it's going pretty good. I understand that for a long time now, you've been very involved with the EEM, the Energy Efficient Mortgage. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, what the Energy Efficient Mortgage basically is that it looks at the construction process and tries to incorporate energy-saving installations, and basically the installations, if calculated properly, will have a cost savings effect to the new homeowner. It's basically designed to help stabilize their energy bills. As we know, most mortgages are consistent. The way the program is designed is that it believes that if it will stabilize energy bills as the mortgage, it will create a situation that is beneficial to the new homeowner. Again, what they try to ensure is peace of mind, wall-to-wall comfort. They want to maintain the value of the home by, again, energy efficiency. We're in an energy deregulated market, meaning that a person could purchase their energy from any place in the country. The distribution will probably always take place on a local level, but the energy itself could be purchased anywhere in the United States. Case in point, in Connecticut, the energy costs about 12 cents a kilowatt hour. And from a company called Think Energy, their energy charges are 9.5 cents per kilowatt hour, or as you see, saving significant numbers. So from a HUD consultant perspective, which I am, what I try to do is incorporate energy efficiency into most contractors or construction design. That's a Good. Little bit about it, I think.
Well, you know, we have we've saved a couple of deals using the energy efficient mortgage, because if your maximum loan amount might be $600,000 in an area, and if you use the energy efficient mortgage, you can actually get a loan in excess of the maximum amount for your county. So how can
The unfortunate part about the energy efficiency mortgage is that it's not promoted by the program, and most HUD consultants are not proficient in that knowledge. I mean, they have various programs, and also, too, in the energy efficiency profile, you could actually receive energy certification from most states nationwide, which will actually, on the resale of your property, could increase your value about 10% to 15%, and that's based on the solar installation, you know, geothermal wells, especially in your part of the country. There's a lot of possibilities for, you know, new designs incorporated. But as we had spoke about in the past, it takes a company that is proficient and futuristic to even discuss, you know, energy efficiency with most lenders. Most lenders do not have the staffing or the knowledge to, you know, produce an energy efficiency loan, as, you know, and that's the, you know, the downside of the program.
Sure. I noticed that when somebody does an EEM or a energy audit, quite often they put a sticker in the garage that tells you what rating this house has now. And that rating helps you get a better, or at least it notifies your seller, if you're selling it, it notifies your buyer that this house is qualified for X number of points, whatever that's worth.
Well, also, too, is that in retrofitting 1 to 4 family homes, there are new technologies. I won't say new because I actually was involved with the development in New York City back in the 90s of the blower door technology, which really was developed in Princeton, New Jersey, and the infrared technology. When you do retrofitting, there's a lot of, you know, external points that go into it. Your domestic hot water use, the type of energies that you do use, your HVAC, your thermostatic controls. And again, if you are not proficient in that area, most contractors, you know, they do what they know. It's really up to us to try to, you know, to educate them about the energy efficiency and how it even could benefit small contractors to become energy certified contractors. That's taking the BPI, the Building Performance Institute certification, and that would allow them to even increase their profit margins, you know, substantially if they were to go into a construction design using, you know, some of the latest, you know, technology.
Sure.
But as you know, I've been involved with energy efficiency for the last 25, 30 years before it became, popular.
As popular as it might be, right?
As popular as it might be. And it's a beautiful thing, too, because the numbers are empirical. You know, this is, if you design, it's like with most heating contractors, most HVAC contractors, typically they oversize their units by about 35% to 50%. And there's a rationalization to it. No one wants to be called out on a hot 90-degree day saying that the HVAC is down, or in a colder climate, their, you know, heating system going down. So to make sure, or that the home is not heated or cooled, you know, from its entirety. So they make sure that they oversize it. And by them oversizing units and systems, they actually, the owner has a cost to bear. because they're paying for more energy that they are really not going to be using or they're going to overuse. So it's unfortunate that, again, we're a long way from, you know, where I would like for us to be, but, you know, like somebody said, a slow move is better than no move, you know?
Well, I, you know, I see, I've used the tool or the energy efficient mortgage piggyback 203K in a few cases. One was the project was supposed to close escrow on the 26th of December one year. And the 26th of December, they ran one more credit check. And it turns out the borrowers had ran their bill up for their charge cards up $8,000. And they no longer qualified. It threw their ratios out of kilter. So, but the borrower had listened to me when I told him. I said, if anything goes wrong, let me know right away. And he called me up and I said, all right, I'm going to look at your project and see just what we're doing. And I'll get back to you in a few minutes. I looked at the project and we had plenty of energy efficient stuff going in from dual pane windows, insulating the attic, insulating a bunch of walls. So I contacted the lender and I said, let's piggyback a 203K on this and save this loan. He was all for it. He said, I forgot all about that. And by looking at the, you know, getting a rater out there and having that done, it cost him $350, but at least he didn't lose the loan. He got to move into his new house. And the lender got to keep the loan, so everybody got paid their commissions. But more importantly, the energy-efficient mortgage, you take all that energy stuff out, and you qualify the client again without that in there, and then they plug it all back in and fund the loan, and you still get all that work. But because, like you said, the savings that they're going to achieve offsets the energy repairs, offset the amount that they had spent recklessly on the Christmas gifts. I don't know a year I ever spent $8,000 $8,000 on my kids' Christmas. I don't remember doing that ever. Sorry, kids, if you're listening, but it didn't happen.
Well, the funny thing about it is that, again, the client today is a much different client today.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that a lot of our clients, especially first-time home buyers, they're driven by they're very intelligent, but our business is very unique in that we operate within a governmental on the home style. It's conventional. We work on those levels trying to put together a product with minimum budgets. And I have to say, we do a pretty good job at it. But again, it's just really trying to make the client understand that if you, you know, again, I think our biggest nemesis right now is the, and I don't mean to say this, you know, derogatorily, our biggest nemesis is the TV construction program.
Oh, I noticed that a lot of the buyers we see now are, like you said, they're more educated and they're more interested in energy savings. They're willing to spend that extra dollar and be energy efficient.
But you know something about the energy signatures that each home produces is that, again, energy management is also too about the life expectancy of the appliance. Like with heating systems and HVAC systems, a new HVAC system is supposed to last 20 years, which windows are supposed to last, you know, 30 years. And the funny thing about windows is that as an energy retrofit, windows are not the most energy saving. The biggest energy savings in a home is air sealing. It's finding out where the home is leaky at, and that's where the blower door and the infrared camera comes in at, because it allows you to see things that with the naked eye that you can't see. So, you know, especially in the Northeast, like in New York City, we have what the Weatherization Assistance Program, which I was fortunate enough to be a part of that in my education. And it basically dealt with low-income homes and the installation of energy-efficient materials actually was more empirical. In other words, the energy savings are more relevant because when you have, when you can save a senior enough money to buy a meal rather than to, you know, pay her energy bills, you know, she doesn't have to make that choice anymore. But in any event, the program developed technologies for the New York City, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. And we were able to actually, you know, document the true nature of energy savings in one-family homes, which was really, it was so dramatic. In other words, domestic hot water, for instance. The average person uses about 35 gallons of hot water a day. Well, they came out with the low floor aerators and low floor shower heads, but the funny thing about domestic hot water use is that there's a lot of other external components that go into it. How efficient your system is, and also too, the cultural uses of domestic hot water. So when we do energy efficiency, it's really a personal diagnostic of how that family or that person lives. And that's what I'm hoping that comes to the program because, again, having a more sophisticated client, we could become more sophisticated in our designs. And one thing that I've learned in energy efficiency is that you never underestimate the intelligence of your client. You know, if we show them, if we build it, they will come. I like that. That was a great movie.
There you go. I do appreciate you calling in. It's always interesting to talk to you.
Well, a lot of people don't know that Mike is responsible for my introduction into this program in the long, long ago. As people that know you, they know that the development of your software has been a labor of love, and it meets more than the minimal standards of, you know, what the program requires. I actually just recently I've been being courted, Mike, by another company, Troy.
So, there you go.
I want to let you know that, again, you know, he has nothing compared to, you know, what you have to offer to the program. And again, I call Mike the guru because if you look at his webpage, that webpage is a 30-year project.
It's an ongoing project that always gets updated regularly.
Well, listen, my pleasure, my friend. And again, I love your program, and I'm looking forward to you to have me back. Will you have me back again? How did I do? Did I do okay?
Say that again?
I said I would love to come back again. Did I do okay?
Absolutely. You call in whenever you want. And don't forget, my hand is almost healed, and I'll be playing golf. So when you come out here to Las Vegas, be sure to bring your clubs.
I actually played this morning, Mike.
I don't want any excuses when you lose.
My pleasure, my friend. I'll talk to you real soon.
All right, sir. Talk to you soon.
Take care, Mike.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Now, let's get back to where we were, guys and girls. We appreciate it. We were working on the borrower's acknowledgement. It's always fun to hear somebody else call in so you can hear another perspective. I wasn't looking for any reason to sell my products. That's not what it was about. But it is nice to hear that somebody's been using them for a long time and still loves them. But going back to the borrower's acknowledgement, one of the understandings is, I understand no changes in the architectural exhibits can be made without the acceptance of a lender or HUD on... or HUD being the consultant, and the contingency funds is set up for changes that affect health, safety, or of necessity. That is so hard to get people to understand. When I go out for draw number one, quite often there's something done that isn't authorized, or draw number two. Early in the game, they're starting to make changes, and they expect us to pay them. The consultant does not have to pay, or the lender does not have to pay, for anything that was done without a prior approval. So homeowners, be aware. If you happen to find something you want to make a change on, don't just make the change. Contractor, if there's a change to be made, don't just make it. Make sure your consultant is aware of it and approves it. Now, some lenders want to make that approval. Some don't. I would guess 99% of the ones that I work with want me to make that decision. Is it health, safety, or of necessity? And when you do that change order, before the work is done and everybody signs it, knowing that we're going to take $1,000 or whatever, the lender doesn't have to pay it until 90% of the work is done and no emergencies have come up. So if they do come up and the money's spent, then the borrower still has to come up with that money. And the way the guideline is actually written is the borrower, if the contingency reserve is insufficient, the homeowner has to place money into the escrow account. I have yet to find a lender that is willing to do that. They don't want to change that escrow account. They don't want to add to it. They usually come back and say, just have the borrower pay the contractor for that item. They don't want to be involved with it. But a change order will be made to assure that the monies are available for the contractor upon completion. But if it's not health, safety, or of necessity, we don't have to pay it at all. Now, we can pay it if the lender, in most cases, the lender will allow it to be paid once 90% of the work is done and it's clear that money is not going to be needed for any other emergencies. So don't just run off and start making changes. It's the worst thing you can do. And the other, it's a little off track here, but the thing that I hate to hear most when I'm doing a 203K is, hey, we need to cut this to the absolute bare minimum. I don't like that. It doesn't feel good to me. It's going to bite the borrower in the butt. And I seriously mean that. I would rather see a 20% contingency on every 203K and borrow enough to get the job done. Consultants, be aware that your bid needs to be pretty darn accurate. And if the contractor's bid comes in 20, 30% below your bid, something's wrong. Either his bid is not realistic, which is quite often the case, or your bid is just overinflated. You don't know what you're doing. So we recommend that you get your cost books together. Home Tech Services is the best place to do that. If you want to just spot check something you're doing, go to one of my websites. Go to 203konline.com. In the upper line, there's several links. One of them is do-it-yourself cost estimator. Those costs are bona fide good costs by contractors, including labor, materials, and they're zip code oriented. So once you place a zip code for your project in there, it's going to give you accurate contractor prices for the various things. I recommend that every consultant puts one of those widgets on their desktop. You can go to Home Tech and purchase that very reasonably. I think it's $50 a month. But for the good it's going to do you and the use you're going to find for that thing, it's well worth it. So anyway, if you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. And we'll take our final break for the day and be right back after this break. Stay tuned.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Welcome back. Welcome back. If you want to be part of the show today, call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free. Be part of the program. We appreciate it. And our clients and customers, our listeners also appreciate it, I'm sure. I understand. Let's get back to our agreement, our homeowner agreement. It's got all these I understands in them. And the next one is, I understand if there's any unused contingency funds at the end, mortgage payments. So you can set aside up to 6 mortgage payments, but only if it's going to take 6 months to finish this thing. But if you don't use them all, then you have to pay it back down on your mortgage. Something that we've seen, and I tell my clients up front, if you're mortgaging 3 mortgage payments, and at the end of the first month, I do a draw, everything looks fine. Second month, I see that you've moved into the house. As a consultant / inspector, we're not the consultant anymore. We're the inspector now. We're working for the bank. We're the eyes and ears of the bank and for HUD. So when we see you've moved into the house and you haven't used all 3 of those payments, we're obligated. It's our job to turn that information over to the lender so they can stop making that house payment for you, and you have to make it on your own now, and they'll take that money and move it over to contingency reserve and ultimately pay it down on your mortgage if it isn't used. Okay, so it'll go into your reserve account. So what happens next is, I understand the lender may retain 10% holdback on each draw for a period not to exceed 35 days, as required by law to file a lien, which is longer. Okay, so what that means is they're going to hold 10% of your each drawback actually until the end of the project to ensure the project gets finished. So a $100,000 project, at the end, they're going to be holding $10,000 of the contractor's money, which should be equal to his profit, okay, approximately. And they're going to hang on to that until the lien period, which is 35 days, is expired, and then they'll cut that last check loose. What we've found in most cases is if this project has been moving right along, the lenders are going to try to get that loan closed and get it off their books as quickly as possible, and they don't typically wait 35, but they can. On limited 203Ks, they typically hold it longer than that. So you may have to get ornery with them from time to time to get your money. But they give you half the money up front, and half the money at when you're finished is what they say, is what the guideline says, but in reality, they don't. When it's finished, they have set up an appraiser to go out there or an inspector to go out there and look at the work. If it's over $15,000, they're supposed to use a consultant, or excuse me, a inspector, consultant, inspector, and look at work over $15,000. But most lenders don't even know that, so they don't. But they do send an appraiser out there, and technically that also, you can do a 442 for these items, and the appraiser is qualified to look and see if those are done in a workmanlike manner. Okay. Then we go over the rehab loan agreement. We're not going to go over every point in this agreement, but we're going to look at a couple that make sense. In it, the lender or HUD may determine the additional compliance inspections are required. So at any point, if you're the person handling the draws, could and should call you as a consultant, say, as an inspector rather, and get you out there to that house to see that something's happening, that they're in compliance. I know I've got one right now. The borrower is just the greatest guy, and his wife, beautiful family, ideal property for them. It's a ranch style. It's got a great, huge barn, and she likes to board horses, and I don't think they're doing that yet. But they've got a main house, they've got a small house, and then they've got a bunkhouse. The last I was out there, apparently the inspector said he wants to see new blueprints on the main house, because what they did was they enclosed a large porch about 10 foot wide that went around all the way across the front of the house and made it living area. So now they want to see blueprints that reflect that. The small house is lived in. That's where they're living now. So they are living on the property. So there's the mortgage payments they're making are at least on a property they are living in. So they're not paying 2 mortgages. They tell me we're going out for a draw next week, or no, in 2 weeks. And they tell me that the bunkhouse is pretty much finished. But we need some cash flow now to get the money to finish the main house. But it's effectively been red tagged, they tell me. So it's not a good situation, but at least we're moving forward, and that's good. But the lender can require a property inspection if there's been no withdrawal request for more than 30 days. The lenders aren't doing that. It would be helpful if they did. Consultant's going to get paid for each draw inspection. If you're not doing any work and you're just paying out draw inspections, that can break the bank ultimately. So you need to get the work done. Another deal there is in the rehab loan agreement is the borrower will complete all improvements on the property in accordance with the architectural exhibits. Okay. Now, the architectural exhibits are what the consultant actually wrote up your scope of work. That is considered architectural exhibits. Even if there's no blueprints, it's still architectural exhibits. Changes in the architectural exhibits must be approved in writing by HUD or the direct endorsement underwriter or the draw inspector, the draw person at the lender's bank. Work must be 100% be complete for each change order. Now, on your draw request, you can pay out a percentage of every item that is got something done. So a typical draw request may have 100% of something and 50% of something else and 20% of five other things and 10% of a couple things. And that's okay. But on a change order, all work must be 100% complete on a change order before you can release those monies. So you're going to write the change order up. Everybody's going to sign it, but you're not going to turn it in. You can turn it in to the lender so they can look at it and approve it on the ones that want to do that. If they're relinquishing that right to you as their representative, then you don't want to send it off and have it paid for before the work is done. And you want to be clear in your change order that you're saying the work is now complete and this change order can be paid. So the borrower, now this agreement says the borrower will cause all improvements to be made in a workmanlike manner and in accordance with all applicable statutes and regulations, all licenses, permits, and privileges required by local government authorities to rehabilitate the property will be obtained by the borrower and or his contractor. So that's a big thing. It's the borrower's responsibility. Don't look at your consultant to be the go-to guy all the time. He's an inspector, yes. And when he inspects the stuff, the borrower is responsible to see that it's done before he gets out there. Fill out column 3 of your draw request form. The contractor fills it out and signs that piece of paper. The borrower should go around and look at those things. And if he's not happy with any of them, he should convey that to the inspector when he gets there. The next item of importance is the borrower shall cause the work to begin within 30 days following the date of this agreement or the close of the escrow. The borrower shall have the work completed within the number of months that the consultant recommends. This is so aggravating to us as consultants sometimes. This is a small job. It's going to take maybe 60 days and knock this job out. So we're going to throw another 30 days in there. So we're going to say 90 days you have to finish this job. I actually had a job in Vallejo, California several years ago that we told the guy he had 90 days to knock it out. But for some reason, the lender sent out a welcoming letter to the contractor saying, you have up to 6 months to finish this project. So the loan closed. The homeowner calls the contractor, and says, hey, when are you going to get started? And he said, I'll send a guy over there today. Oh, interesting. He waited 30 days until he got a phone call. He sent someone over there, and they removed the toilet in the upstairs hall bathroom and set it out on the hardwood finished flooring. I think he threw a piece of newspaper under it, set it out there so that they could start renovating the bathroom. And then he didn't show up for another week
2 weeks, 3 weeks. Homeowner calls me and says, what'll I do? I said, call him, tell him to get out there. So he calls him and the guy says, look, this is only a 30-day job. I can knock this out in 30 days. So what happens is, if he could knock it out in 30 days, why didn't he? Because the lender gave him up to 6 months. He was going to come out there in 5 months and knock it out. Anyway, I see we're out of time for today. Appreciate you coming by. Hope you enjoyed our talk from the energy efficient specialist in Connecticut, Michael Faust. And if you have any questions, I'm sure he would love it. Again, thanks for joining us. May God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you love? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.